WPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on a day that's a little bit warmer than yesterday. And just wait till tomorrow. It's going to be back in the 60s tomorrow. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Don, though, was out. You were out there overnight. It was cold.
Yeah.
It was cold last night, and it was cold this morning early.
It was cold this morning, but thankfully, the wind was not as bad as the night before. But temperature-wise, you're right, Bill. It was, I think at one time when I got in the car, it was like 26. I don't know how low it got, but
yeah,
I could tell the difference. Luckily, I didn't have to do too much.
Well, that's good. I mean, because, yeah, it was really, really cold first thing this morning when I got up and let the dog out. Yeah. I mean,
he wasn't that long, was he?
No, he wasn't. now he's normally, I mean, he has a house. There's a dog house out on the back porch.
Okay.
That he's very comfortable in, but I just feel when it's sub freezing, you know, he can sleep in the house.
Oh yeah.
So I got up, let him out, and yeah, he was out right back at the door, like, okay, let me back in.
Enough's
so,
enough.
Yeah. So it was darn chilly early on this morning, but yeah, it's warmed up. It's pretty nice now. I mean, temperatures are in the low 50s or so. It would be a chilly night if you had baseball.
Yes.
I've talked to a few folks that were thinking baseball was tonight.
Right.
But fortunately, basketball is tonight.
Yeah, indoors.
And it's also in Norman, Oklahoma. But yeah, basketball is inside. And then tomorrow night, I think the low tomorrow night is supposed to be warmer than the high today. It's supposed to be around 55 or something.
57.
Yeah, mid 50s or something like that for the low.
70 tomorrow.
So that means it's probably going to be in the 60s during the entire ball game tomorrow night. As Auburn's got West Georgia in baseball after Oklahoma tonight in basketball. And speaking of basketball, you'll be able to hear that over on Wings 94.3. It is an 8 o'clock tip, so 7:30 pregame with our good friend Andy Burcham and Randall Dickey. And Andy said he can join us today, but he is, or at least he was just a few minutes ago, waiting to record his pregame interview with Stephen Pearl. So Andy will be calling in here on the Drive Hotline in just a little while when he gets an opportunity. So so we look forward to talking to Andy about the big win over Kentucky.
Yep.
And this is a big ball game. I mean, Auburn only about a point favorite tonight. And you go, wait, Oklahoma's 3-11 in conference. How can that be the case? Because Oklahoma has been right there. Their whole season has been a lot like what Auburn's 5-game losing streak was.
Yeah.
I mean, they have had games where they have had leads and sometimes big leads and have not been able to hold on to them. They have done a much worse job than Auburn has at holding leads and finishing ball games.
Yeah, anytime you go on the road in this league, or even at home, Bill, this year it seems last year you had some top-notch teams. Very seldom did they lose at home. But a lot of these guys have lost home games, so now it's a chance to steal one on the road. So, you know, there's four games left?
Four games left, just 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Right. This is the start of the next to the last week of the regular season.
This stretch right here. We get this game tonight, come home Saturday, correct?
Saturday night.
Yeah.
Saturday night is Ole Miss. Then late night.
Dang it.
Next week is LSU. Okay. I got a 9 o'clock.
What?
Midweek game.
Wow.
Against LSU.
But anyway, got a chance. And, toss it up when you go to Alabama.
I mean, they're ranked right at number 70 in the KenPom rankings.
Yeah.
I mean, this would be a quad one win if you get it on the road. And Auburn, got that win over Kentucky to go 5-10 in quad one games. So if they get this one, they will go to 6-10 in quad one games. But yeah, you talked about it. What is What has been crazy? There have been more road wins this year than I can ever recall. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now you have three teams that have only lost one home game this year. They are Florida, your league leader, Arkansas, and Tennessee. Those teams have only lost one home game. Everybody else, let's see, Missouri's only lost two home games. Everybody else has lost at least three mm-hmm. home games this year. So, I mean, there have been more road wins in conference play this year than we've seen in quite a while. So Auburn's hoping to add to that total tonight. And we also, speaking of Stephen Pearl, we have some audio from Stephen that we can run. We can do that a little later on. Again, we're looking forward to talking with Andy Burcham and get his thoughts on tonight's game. It's another game in which the Auburn perimeter defense is really going to be challenged because Oklahoma has some big-time scorers. They're shooting over 35% as a team from three. And, you know, Auburn has struggled all year long in defending the three. And also lately, the top scorers on teams have not been held below their average. So I mean, that'll be the challenge for the Tigers tonight. Again, is defending the perimeter against this Oklahoma team. Speaking of the matchup tonight, our good buddy Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, is there in Norman getting ready for another late-night game. Should be getting used to these now, Andy. It feels like just about every game starts at 7:30 or later this season, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know if getting used to it is the right way to put it, but it's what we expect.
Right.
And for goodness sakes, next Tuesday night.
9 o'clock? That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, because every team is playing next Tuesday. No team plays on Wednesday.
Right.
But for the love of Pete, figure it out where teams are not playing at 9 o'clock at night on a school night, for goodness sakes.
On a work night. I mean that makes it really, really tough for fans that aren't right here in the immediate vicinity.
Yes, I agree. And I mean it's not I'm gonna bite my tongue right now, but figure out where a team doesn't have to play at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night.
Oh, absolutely. Well, before we get,
I'll leave it there.
Oh yeah, no question.
and I'm not talking. This is not Auburn. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about Auburn. This is other folks making this call.
Yeah, Auburn doesn't set the times of these ball games. No, you're right.
9 o'clock on a Tuesday night is ridiculous.
Yep, indeed. Now tonight, it's 8 o'clock tonight there in Norman against a dangerous Oklahoma team. I was just talking about this a few minutes ago. I mean, people look at the records and go, well, they're just 3-11 in conference, but they have had the opportunity to win a lot of ball games. I mean, as much frustration as Auburn had during the losing streak, it's been like that. It seems like the entire season for Oklahoma.
Well, two of their three wins in SEC play are against teams that Auburn lost to.
Right.
Georgia and Vanderbilt, and that win against Vanderbilt, in spite of the fact that they had a big lead and almost blew a, would have been one of the great classes of all time, they hung on and won in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a capable Oklahoma team, and if they get hot from the outside, you've got to watch out because they have the ability to do that with Nigel Pack and Xavier Brown and Darren Reed. All can shoot it, especially Pack and Brown. I mean, and they will shoot from range. They will shoot out of transition. And frankly, it's something that Auburn has struggled with of late, is defending the three. So that has to be one of the paramount keys for the Tigers tonight, is doing a better job of defending the three-point shot. We're 7 days removed from Josh Hubbard's 46 points,
right?
35 of which came in the first half against Auburn. And Nigel Pack, I'm not saying he's going to go out and do that. I think Auburn will do everything it can to prevent that. But this guy has the potential for that kind of game tonight.
And he has been around. It seems like he's been playing college basketball for about a decade.
6 years. This is his sixth year. He's mm-hmm. had a couple injuries. He's played at Kansas State. He's played at Miami. And now here at Oklahoma. And he averages about 15, almost 16 points a ball game. He has 86 threes, 195 three-point attempts. 59% of his shots are three-pointers. If you don't know where he is on the floor at all times offensively, you're in trouble.
No, there is no question about that, and you're right. I mean, it's been a problem for Auburn the entire conference schedule. I mean, teams have shot threes pretty well against Auburn. They've gotten more open looks, I know, than Stephen Pearl would like. I did think, though, Andy, I thought in the second half the other night against Kentucky that Auburn closed out and really challenged the Kentucky perimeter shooters more than they had in the first half, and as a result, Kentucky only shot about 35% in the second half.
Well, I thought for 17 minutes of the second half last Wednesday at Mississippi State, Auburn did a better job of defending everywhere.
Oh, you're right.
The three-point line against Mississippi State. And listen, does Auburn need to be better at defending the three? Yes. But goodness gracious, take a look at the best players in the Southeastern Conference right now. Where are they primarily? They're your guards.
Mm-hmm.
And they are extremely good shooting point guards and outstanding shooting guards. I mean, you look around this league, and of late, it's almost become a joke when Stephen and I sit down and do his pregame show. Well, here's another outstanding group of guards that can shoot the three and get you in trouble. And it seems even more so this year than in years past. A year ago, the SEC Player of the Year was Jahni Broome, and Auburn was so dominant on the inside. This year, though, I think this league is flush with outstanding guards. And it seems like it's every game that Auburn plays, they're facing another set of guards that can absolutely do some damage.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. And, I mean, you look, and you mentioned it. I mean, they have multiple guards. They're shooting 35% or a little better than that as a team from three here in conference. So, I mean, that once again is the big challenge for Auburn. And with the game being played there in Norman, here's another game where, Stephen Pearl had talked about this for weeks, and I thought Auburn did a better job against Kentucky of getting off to a good start, because slow starts, especially on the road, can really be dangerous, and that's something I think that should be very important again tonight.
We saw it last week, last Wednesday.
Oh, yes.
at Mississippi State. We saw it the previous Saturday at Arkansas. Auburn, on the other hand, got off to such a really good start at Florida, set the tone early, and Auburn ended up winning that ball game by double figures, and that's a Florida team that has the inside track right now to win the SEC regular season championship, as Auburn did a year ago. So this team has the potential, even on the road, to go in and get off to a good start and set the tone, and frankly, that needs to happen tonight against Oklahoma. As big as that Kentucky ball game was, and especially the win, it will be tarnished if Auburn doesn't come out and do its job tonight against Oklahoma. And then we'll say the exact same thing when Auburn plays host to Ole Miss on Friday or on Saturday, and then LSU next week, and then Alabama to close out the regular season. Every game now is almost like a playoff game for this Auburn ball club with regard to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn is considered in by most bracketologists, but you don't want to take chances. I mean, the win over Kentucky was extremely important. I mean, that was about as close to a must win as you were going to see. But they really, if they can win tonight, this is a quad one win too. It would give them six quad one wins, and then you just take care of business on your home court and see what happens in Tuscaloosa.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But I mean, at this point, you and I and Don can look ahead on the schedule. This team cannot.
Right.
You cannot afford to look ahead tonight, because this Oklahoma ball club is capable of coming in and beating the Tigers, and then you're in grave danger. Grave danger, Will Robinson for Auburn at that point.
Yes, indeed. Andy, we were talking about this yesterday, and trying to think. I mean, there have been a couple of ball games, but as impressive as some of Auburn's offensive numbers are, and according to a lot of the metrics, Auburn's one of the better offenses around. There haven't been a lot of ball games when you've had like four guys really clicking offensively. And I mean, we've seen different players step up. My goodness, Keyshawn Murphy had a great game the other night against Kentucky. You know, it was a night where Keyshawn Hall and Tahad Pettiford really struggled offensively. But to be able to win a ball game when the two guys who you normally figure are your two best offensive weapons have an off night, I think says a lot about the ability and talent that this team has. But I'm still sort of waiting to see multiple guys really, you know, really go off in the same night.
You're right. And we have yet to see that night where everything seems to gel from an offensive standpoint. I mean, it seems like it's a different guy every night. And that's not a bad thing.
No.
I mean, it's good when someone steps forward when a Keyshawn Hall is not having his best night. Or the same can be said when Keyshawn Hall goes off and Tahad is not his best. But when this team clicks offensively, it's beautiful to watch. But I guarantee you, the most important thing in Stephen Pearl's mind right now is not how well this team clicks offensively.
Oh, it's the other end. Yes.
It's the other end, and I think he believes this as well. That offense clicks when this defense is clicking.
Oh, I agree.
I think, and we have seen that. Look at the first 17 minutes of the second half last Wednesday at Mississippi State, because it was clicking at both ends of the floor. In the first half, it certainly was not. Mm-hmm. Auburn was struggling from a defensive standpoint, and Josh Hubbard was having an all-world night. And Auburn's down 16 and down 18 early in the second half. And then, as Stephen Pearl called it, Auburn had some fun on the road in the SEC for 17 minutes. Now, it did not close out the game. And I think that is a bitter taste that is still in the mouths of this Auburn ball club at this point. I hope so. I hope that game becomes something that Auburn builds off of. I thought it did on Saturday because it found a way to win. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a back-and-forth game. There were a lot of similarities, Bill, I thought.
Oh, yes.
Games last Wednesday and on Saturday, because Auburn's down at the half. Auburn comes back, gets a lead, comes back, and against Mississippi State, didn't finish it. Well, it did finish on Saturday.
Yeah, you went from up four. From up four under 3 minutes to down four with about a minute and still were able to come back.
They'll found a way to win it, and that was an enormous step forward for this Auburn basketball team. Get a win here tonight. Get a win here tonight, and then you're home for two in a row in games that Auburn will be favored in both. Not saying that they're not important, because they're obviously incredibly important, but this Auburn ball club, no question, plays much better at Neville than it does on the road. I mean, that home court advantage, the jungle, is a weapon for this Auburn basketball team. Get one tonight. Get one tonight and come home for two in a row.
Yeah, lose one of those last two home games and you'll see how important those ball games are. But Andy, one thing that was a concern going into the Kentucky game, you know, was the mindset of these players. This team, you know, Stephen was talking about it before the game, that how impressed he was with the guys at practice and how that, you know, they still believed and they got that win. That, I think, is something that you hope they really can build on. You know, they finally got the monkey off the back, got the losing streak out of the way. Now you hope they can go out there and play loose. And like you said, Stephen mentioned about, you know, that 17-minute stretch at Mississippi State, have some fun on the road.
Yeah. Well, I asked him about the same thing you just mentioned, Bill, in his pregame on Saturday. And he said, you know, they've done this all year. They've bounced back. This is a resilient bunch. I know he feels that the effort, the pride, the passion is still there, but there has got to be execution with that. And I thought Auburn executed at the most important times on Saturday against Kentucky. And now they've got to build on that. They've got to absolutely build on that as they get ready for this 8 o'clock start tonight. Our coverage over on Wings 94.3 begins at 7:30 from the Lloyd Noble Center. First time I've been in this building.
Oh yeah.
First, it's only the fourth day I've ever been in Norman, Oklahoma. Was here for basketball. Was here for football in the fall, and now back for basketball. So looking forward to this one tonight. Don't know what kind of crowd we'll see. It's a ball club that's 13-14 overall, and 3-11 in the SEC. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of crowd that files into the Lloyd Noble Center for this one tonight.
What kind of weather is there in Norman?
It is. It's a pleasant day. It's very windy, but I'm told that's pretty per usual here in Norman. But it's it's about 70 degrees.
Oh wow!
So it's a very pleasant day here in Norman. We've had sunshine the entire time we've been here, so I don't think weather will be a factor with regard to the crowd.
No. I was sort of hoping maybe it was really bitter or something, and that would hold more of the crowd back.
No, it's a beautiful day here in Norman.
Well, that's good. Looking forward to the broadcast tonight, Andy. A busy time. There's a lot going on with the Auburn Sports Network. Man, Brad got an opportunity to see three beauties out in Arlington over the past weekend.
Well, you come off of a really disappointing night against Cincinnati, and then you go on the road and you get your three toughest early games of the season so far. And you go out and you take care of business against Kansas State. You do the same thing against Florida State, and you do the same thing against Louisville. And then the outcome, the outlook is completely different.
Oh yeah,
coming out of Arlington, you win those three ball games. Now you come home, and it's a 9-game homestand for Auburn that starts tomorrow night when the Tigers play host to West Georgia over at Plainsman Park. So, and then you've got a really good Nebraska team coming in here on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday will be the first game I get to do.
Wow!
For all,
I thought maybe you'd get tomorrow.
No, we've got a launch event in Huntsville at the Space and Rocket Center with Coach Golish and Coach Burns and Byron Brown. The third and the final of the launch events is tomorrow night in Huntsville, so I'll be with that group tomorrow night. Looking forward to. I haven't been in the Space and Rocket Center it's been a long, long time. So I'm looking forward to see that as the venue, folks, these events in Huntsville, boy, there's been energy in those rooms when we've been in Huntsville before. So I'm expecting that tomorrow night. But then Brad will have a call tomorrow night on Wings 94.3. Then Thursday night, Tiger Talk out of Baumhauer's Victory Grill. Stephen Pearl and Butch Thompson scheduled to be with us on Wings 94.3. And then Saturday is Auburn and Nebraska, and I'll be in the booth with Brad on Friday and Sunday. Saturday, of course, Auburn basketball as the Tigers play host to Ole Miss on Saturday. Softball, of course, is in town. Get there early. Parking will be at a premium as a result of so many activities on campus. There's, of course, the Run Fest that's taking place this weekend as well. So take some extra time as you're coming into Auburn this weekend for basketball and baseball and softball and all the other activities on campus this weekend.
That's great, and the weather looks pretty good looking ahead. So so hopefully that everything holds up. So Andy, really appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us. Know it's busy up there as you get ready for the ball game. Looking forward to the call tonight. Best of luck with that, and have a great trip back.
Guys, have a great day. Thank you for the time. War Eagle,
voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us here at the start of our Tuesday edition of The Drive. We'll open up the phone lines. Love for you to join in. We have some Stephen Pearl audio we can run, but your phone calls come first, 334-321-1390. We're right back here on the Tuesday Drive. War Eagle. You just heard that, the spot for them. They're open right now, but they close at 5. So if you can, again, check them online, but you can give them a call, 209-37-QUESTIONS. I want to go ahead and set up a time to get in there. Definitely, you'll be feeling better after you do. I mean, it's made a tremendous difference for me thus far. All right, we're near the bottom of the hour. Got a couple minutes before we get to our next break, sort of get back on schedule. We had to push everything back a little bit because Andy was interviewing Stephen Pearl for his pregame show for tonight's matchup against Oklahoma. You know, I didn't want to spend too much time and get into some of the individuals, but I mentioned Keyshawn Murphy had a huge game the other night. Elijah Freeman, of course, is a guy that really stepped up. When we play some of the Stephen Pearl audio from yesterday when he met with the media, I mean, that's one thing he talked about. And then we talked with Sebastian Williams Adams as well about Elijah Freeman. And all the players and the coaches, I mean, everybody we have talked to says, look, here's the best athlete on the team, Elijah Freeman. He's still just learning, you know, how good he can be. Played at Lincoln Memorial, a small school last year. In high school, he was about 6'3", came his first year when he signed with Lincoln Memorial. I believe he was a little over 6'4". He's grown to nearly 6'8" now. I mean, he's a guy that was a guard. You can see he's a pretty good ball handler, but he's got unbelievable just leaping ability, and he's got great timing as well. Now, his numbers won't knock you out. You know, he's right now he's the sixth man. He's coming off the bench, giving him some energy, being the first guy off the bench for Auburn. But I mean, he's a guy who can definitely score inside against just about anybody. Play against players, you know, a few inches taller than him, and his athleticism just plays. But he's shown in the last few ball games that he's always had a good looking shot. He just wasn't hitting that many of them. But the last couple of ball games, he's hit some big threes for Auburn, and he's just a sophomore in eligibility. And I mean, this is a guy that when we talk about hoping you have some of these players back next year so you don't have to go through a situation like Auburn did this year with 10 new players, he's a guy I think that you could really, you know, count on as a big, big factor for your team for the next couple of years.
Yeah, no doubt. He's going to get bigger and stronger. Like you said, he's already grown. Do you know where that school is, Bill? It's up in Tusculum, I believe, Tennessee, up on the Kentucky.
I knew it was in Tennessee, but I didn't know where it was.
Place, and that's amazing. I'm talking about they might have three buildings, and I could be dead wrong. But
No, I mean, I knew it was a small school, and they played in a very small division.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's great that he has this opportunity, and he's taking advantage of it. And what a find.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is something.
That's amazing.
We'll see if that continues now.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know how much of it was Bruce, how much of it was the staff, because the rest of the staff is still intact.
Oh, yeah.
With the exception of Chad
Pruitt.
Somebody
did a heck of a job
finding players. I mean, Auburn has done that. They've gone and found, you know, Chaney Johnson and, you know, well, Janai.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like he was playing at D2.
Oh, Morehead State's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, to be able to find those guys and have them come in and be quality SEC players is very impressive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
He's a guy I thought it from the first time I saw him. It's like, this guy has a chance to really be special. And you hope that, you know, he played more aggressive the other night. I think he finished with double digits after with that tip in there at the end of the ball game to win that Kentucky game. You know, he's another player that could really use that as a huge confidence builder and go out, because I really feel that once again tonight, we talked about Auburn having to guard the perimeter and be concerned with the Oklahoma three-point shooting. I think Auburn once again can handle Oklahoma inside. You know, maybe not dominate, but I believe they should be able to control the inside game on both ends of the court. I mean, Auburn's one of the best offensive rebounding teams around, and there's no reason that Oklahoma should, should be able to out rebound the Tigers tonight. If that happens, something like that happens, then Auburn's in trouble.
Yeah, I expect them to control the glass, like you said. They've done a good job all year. I don't think that'll change. Hopefully, like you said, because if it does, like you said, we'll be in trouble.
Yeah, no kidding.
But and that school had 4,000 students.
Wow.
And it's up in the middle of nowhere. Man. Good school.
I knew it was in Tennessee.
Yeah.
But I didn't
it's right
have
on the border,
where.
Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
55 miles, I believe, north of Knoxville. I used to cut through that way going home from East Tennessee State.
Well, let me tell you, Elijah Freeman, Tennessee and Florida both wanted him as well.
And that's
I mean, he's a guy that was so dominant at that level.
Yeah. I guess you just got to look at the stats maybe every day. You know, you got somebody doing that.
Well, you do that, but I'm sure once he started dominating that some folks went and watched
him, and he probably got an agent,
I mean,
maybe.
Probably.
Knows? But maybe not in that place.
I don't know. He's a very he's a pretty soft-spoken guy.
Yeah. Where's he from?
I believe he's from Florida.
Yeah, he might be. But I mean, even finding that place.
Yeah. I mean, he just didn't have offers.
He just didn't grow.
Coming out. I mean, again, he was a 6'3" guard.
Yeah.
And I don't think he played at the large at a large school in high school. He was probably a tweener. He was probably a guard, but he wasn't a power four caliber guard as far as a ball handler. But I mean, now with his length, he is he's a kind of guy that can he's got that kind of reach and can come up and create turnovers, get the hand in there and tip the ball away in turnovers.
Yeah, like you said, he's 6'8" now, 185 from Palm Beach, Florida.
Okay,
just a sophomore. So, man, that's what a find.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just got to keep him.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. We've got some Stephen Pearl audio that we can run. But, again, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
At Affordable Comfort Cooling Systems and Plumbing, we believe our work is more than just AC and plumbing repairs. It's about serving people with integrity.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Well, I guess it's time for our legal updates, things like that. We talked yesterday about Charles Bediako, filing an appeal to the state Supreme Court and was asking for an injunction from the same judge who denied his injunction earlier, asked for an injunction allowing him to start playing immediately. And Judge Daniel Pruitt once again denied that injunction. So Charles Bediako right now is still unable to play for Alabama, but he is continuing. It appears he will continue on with his appeal to the Alabama Supreme Court. Now, I would think that the ability to get in front of a local judge is probably easier and more more speedily taken care of. I don't know.
I would think it would be months before you could get in front of a...
Well, a state Supreme Court, I don't know.
I don't know.
Either. I don't know. I mean, the regular season, as we said a little while ago, the regular season's only got 2 more weeks.
Yeah.
So
is he in school right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's in school. I mean, he dropped out of the G League, and, of course, that's what you heard the students and stuff chanting over at Neville Arena.
That's funny.
But no, he's been in school. He had enrolled in school while he was still in the G League. I guess he'd been planning this for a while.
Okay. Who helped him plan this? I mean, do you think he just sat there?
I'm sure that there were some people that contacted him and said, I don't know if it was his agent.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was, somebody on the Alabama, staff or something said, hey, there's a chance.
Look what they've done in football. See what happens in football.
Yeah, I mean, because so many things have been challenged and, have been overturned by courts. But this one, we'll see. I mean, I have no idea what the timetable would be for the state Supreme Court to take a look at this. But, I mean, I would think his best case situation would be maybe back for a game in the regular season. Watch that. Of course, what is the last game of the regular season? That's the Auburn game.
It wouldn't shock me.
I would not be shocked to see, that's what he's hoping for, maybe get back for that game and then be able to play in the SEC tournament in postseason. No, this is it. And that's one of the things that he and his agent were claiming. This is it. This is his fifth year, so it would be his last opportunity. But, he agreed that he was foregoing his eligibility when he made himself available for the NBA draft and then signed and has been was in the G League for 2+ years.
Right.
So it's not like he didn't know.
Right.
I mean, that's something. Some of these players, they don't have any other options.
Right.
And that's one of the things that, again, I mean, I still hear a lot of people say, well, what about these guys that played in Europe? I mean, some of them, especially from the smaller countries or that are playing in the developmental type leagues there, those aren't even – they're not on the level of junior college
basketball. Yeah, they don't
basketball.
Even have high school.
They don't have high school basketball.
Right.
When they get when once they're, you know, 13 or so, mm-hmm. if they're good enough, they will be recruited by some teams and try to work their way up to the highest professional levels that they have. But these lower professional levels, in most cases, they'll get room and board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's yes, they're professionals because they're getting compensated, but I don't think they're padding their bank accounts or anything like that, or you know, being able to take care of their family. So I mean, it's completely different than someone, you know, in Bediako's case, he'd reportedly made over $500,000 in his 2 years, two plus years out. I'm sure that you can make more than that as a big time player at the Power Four level now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. When he left, there wasn't that kind of money.
Right.
That was available to college basketball players. And that's another thing that you hear a lot of the athletes in whatever sport saying, well, I can make more money.
Yeah.
But, you know, the sad thing is, fellas and gals, there are rules that
right.
say, that supposedly
up.
Say, this is how long you play. Now, yeah. a lot of guys are, and players are getting around that. But that's the way it's supposed to be.
You know what, Bill? I just think I need to go back and challenge what they're making now for D-line coaches.
Absolutely.
What I made.
It's not fair.
I'm not complaining.
I mean, see, that's the thing. To feel like it's not fair, look, just about everybody everywhere is making more at their jobs than folks used to.
And, you know, I made more than my dad made.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just kidding, but.
No, wow. I mean, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And yes, I mean, you can be bitter about it, but there's no reason to.
No.
I mean, you know.
It's like Pete Rose and those guys made hardly anything now.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
those guys, I mean, yeah. Those were back in the days when Major League Baseball players had to work in the offseason.
Right.
They had to have jobs
yes.
in the offseason. We talk about yes. college players, but I mean, back in the day,
yeah.
professional athletes didn't make enough money
right.
that they could just do nothing in the offseason.
Some of them had farms. Some of them, you know, you read all those stories. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Worked in factories, and it's crazy.
So that.
Can you imagine working on a saw, you know, you're a great hitter, and you're messing with a blade every
sawmill
day.
Or yeah, something like that.
Cut,
well, I mean, no, I mean, that happened.
Yeah.
I think that was the deal with, like, Three Finger Brown. I think
yeah.
that's what happened with him. I mean,
name.
Really? I mean, where do you think that came
name.
From? Yeah,
they had the greatest.
Well, I mean, that's a real easy one though.
I
if
know.
You've only got three fingers
that's
on
right.
one hand,
that's right.
that nickname's gonna stick. Oh man! All right, tell you what, we'll sort of get back on schedule. Get to our final break of hour number one. The Stephen Pearl audio, we can run it a little later because it's a little lengthier than the time we had, and there's some really good stuff in there mm-hmm. as he previews. The matchup against Oklahoma. I'd love to hear from you, our listeners. What do you think about tonight's game? Do you feel that Kentucky game is a springboard that could really help this team? Are you still as worried as you were? I shouldn't be probably as worried as you were, but are you still worried about Auburn's ability to close ball games? Because that one nearly slipped through Auburn's fingers the other night, literally.
Yeah.
So let us know what you feel about tonight's game, the rest of the season, anything on your mind sports-wise as we get to our final break of hour number one here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive, 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive, final few minutes of hour number one. Saw our buddy Jason Caldwell, who will be on with us tomorrow. I don't know. He may not be. If Andy's not doing the baseball game, I guess Jason's probably going to be doing baseball tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we may maybe we can catch up with him for a little bit tomorrow on the Wednesday Drive. But I saw he had posted and then reading that Philip Rivers' son, who Auburn had recruited, Gunner, is going to follow his dad's footprints and head to NC State.
Well, you can thank us, our staff, for that debacle.
All right, so I mean, we've heard this. I mean, But I mean, some people go don't really buy it. But I mean, no, I mean, you guys looked at him, but
great relationship with his dad, with him. They liked us, but for some reason, we thought he would be a better tight end.
Well, I mean, he was a big, physical guy who could run.
Yeah,
and he always had that funky arm motion.
Yeah,
you know.
So you know, and you know, they listened, very cordial.
So there he is in the NFL record books.
Yeah, yeah, and then he wanted to be a quarterback.
Yeah.
So. Good for him.
And he was right.
Yeah.
It turns out, he was right.
And, you know, and if we want to bring up old sore wounds, we try to move Brandon Jacobs to tight end. And he transferred, and what, he played 9 years with the Giants?
Well, the thing is, y'all had a pretty good running back room.
My goodness. Just think, though, if he'd have stayed in the backfield. We could have gotten the old triple eye.
Yeah, I guess you had to do triple something eye. Like that. I mean, full house backfield.
Yeah. Wow. But anyway, hindsight's 20/20.
Yep, or as Coach Dye said, hindsight's 50/50.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, it's not. That makes
more sense.
Yeah, it does. And I don't think he meant it like that.
No, that's like Yogi Bear
that's
stuff.
That's right. Oh, my. So Auburn's still in on some big time quarterbacks. Yeah. There's no question about that.
You can see that happening, but that's too bad.
And you know, again, Andy was talking about being an event up in Huntsville, and with Coach Golish, and it's interesting. Cody Burns and Byron Brown is going to be there. That's how much they think of Byron Brown, and that is also, I mean. You listen to any interviews with him. He's one of those guys. He's a guy that just is a natural leader / magnet. I mean, his teammates are drawn to him and they follow him. He's charismatic.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's very, you know, he's just a
good. He's good.
He's a very fun guy to listen to and to talk to,
right.
And I think that's very telling that Alex Golish is taking Byron Brown to these events.
You know, we've talked about it the last couple of weeks. I really like how he's handling these meetings or alumni, the coaching deals in Georgia, in Alabama. The high school guys, the alumni events. You know, we always had to do three or four of the alumni events and had to go with Coach Tubb. And that's what you got to do. And Huntsville, you know, I recruited that area. That was my area. You know, you look at Gerard Powers, thank goodness, had good relationships up there. And it's hard to recruit North Alabama. You know, on that left side over there, Bill, that was always Alabama.
Oh, yes.
Googe or the brothers, I'm pronouncing it wrong. But anyway, from Aliceville all back over there, that was big Alabama country. But I think it's awesome that he's getting around the state, taking people with him, being seen, being heard, and shaking hands. You got to do it.
Oh, yeah. And, he's had some pretty blunt comments.
Yeah.
About everything. I mean, he talked about, we need money. We need the people that have the money.
Yeah.
And he said, I understand that they want to know, you know,
everything.
where their money's being spent.
Yeah.
He goes, but if you want to say so because of your money, then we're good. We don't need you.
I love it.
Yeah.
Run the ball.
All right, music's playing. That means we are halfway done here on the Tuesday Drive. Again, we've got some Stephen Pearl audio that we're going to run if we get the opportunity in hour number two. We'll check in with Jake Crane at the bottom of the hour. But in the meantime, we'd love for you to join in. 334-321-1390 as we come back for hour number two of the Tuesday Drive.
Production. Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in. Anything on your mind sports-wise, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Auburn-Oklahoma basketball coming up tonight. A late tip. That's an 8 o'clock start. I'm sure there's a game before that, so it may be a little bit after it. So none of the games ever start when if you're not the first game, if you're not the 6 o'clock game.
No, never.
It's not going to start on time. And now I love my situation that we have. You were just asking me about a channel. We no longer right. Have cable. Mm-hmm. You were talking about the Spectrum Channel and the job they do with sports.
The news.
You know what we've got. I mean, we've got YouTube TV. And it's really good because there's no limit how much you can record. You tell it you just tell it you want to record anything Auburn, it'll record everything that it does Auburn. The only problem is it doesn't know. I mean, it's amazing. It does know when the game starts, where it was supposed to be. So like for the other night against Kentucky, I went back and I wanted to watch. Mm-hmm. A little of the replay, and especially the end. So mm-hmm. It didn't bother me as much that I didn't see the beginning. But since the game was on, and there was a game that preceded it, it started, I guess, over on either yeah. ESPN Plus or the yeah. I think it was just ESPN Plus.
Yes,
that it started on. So the recording that I have just picks up. When it's like, well, hello, welcome to those of you that have been watching so-and-so, right. and it's like 11-9 Kentucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the only frustrating thing is when you have these ball games like this, and look, they know, they absolutely know these games aren't going to be played in 2 hours or less.
No.
It's not possible anymore.
No.
I mean, you have too many challenges, you have... You know, they're just too many reviews that are going to push the ball game back. And I mean, even if the officials let them play, it's still going to end up being more than 2 hours. But anyway, Auburn is the 8 o'clock ESPNU game tonight. Of course, you can listen to Andy and Randall over on Wings 94.3 starting at 7:30 tonight with the pregame. So. Their pregame's going to start at 7:30 and go until tip whenever that is.
Yeah, pray it's no overtime.
I mean, so sometimes it's, 15, 20 minutes later. It's sort of like doing baseball and you're getting a rain delay.
You got to tap dance along, or
the game before you has gone into extra innings, things like that when you're playing in a tournament.
Right.
But only 3 games on tap tonight. In the SEC, Kentucky's at South Carolina. That's a 6 o'clock game on the SEC Network. The second game on the SEC Network will be an interesting one, Tennessee at Missouri.
Yeah, that might be a good one.
I mean, Missouri is a team that,
quietly.
I mean, you just don't – I guess what it is, the fact that they just don't really feel like they're here in the SEC, you don't realize it. I mean, they're 8-6. Right. So this is a big ball game for them because they haven't played the toughest strength of the toughest schedule either. Tennessee is one of those teams at 10-4, 2 games back of the Gators.
Yeah.
So Florida's got a 2-game lead with 4 games to play. They should be in really good shape to win the SEC regular season. 334-321-1390 is the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Love your thoughts on tonight's Auburn-Oklahoma matchup. It's another game in which Auburn is going to be challenged on the perimeter. Oklahoma, another really good 3-point shooting team. Let's get to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Pat is up first this hour. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Don. I was this last game. It's almost like it's almost like Groundhog Day watching this team because it's like you can tell what's going to happen. We get out to a lead, 6-7 points at the end of the game, and then all of a sudden we'll have like Tejada will make a turnover, crazy turnover, and then we'll let them shoot threes, and then they'll make the threes, you know, to catch back up, and then at the very end we have a chance, but then we never seem to overcome it, and this time. That one call going our way was killer, was great, because that would have been where we typically would have just lost it.
Oh yeah,
at the end.
Yeah.
If they called it
a flop on KO or just let them play or something like that, then yeah, Auburn loses the game.
Exactly, and that's the key. And then you look at the very end. I mean, the guy who was doing the best, absolute best, had the perfect rebound.
He did,
and should have dunked it. He even said himself he should have dunked it, and he misses it. And it was like, thank God, you know, that free Elijah came through and grabbed it, because it would have been another loss, because everything was going good, and then we just totally just dropped it at the very last second. So I feel like, but every one of those other games could have went our way. It's just we got bad calls in a lot of those games. But and Keyshawn Hall driving in and not getting the call, that's typically what's happened every single time to finish the game. Is we drive in, don't get the foul call, throw it up on the rim, see what happens. Nothing happens, and then they go down, they shoot a three. I mean, even I'm at the point now where it's like, if we're up 6 or 7 with 2 minutes to go, just foul them. Just foul them, make them shoot free throws, give them 2, we're up 4, go down, score, you know, make them foul us. I feel like we're letting them shoot the 3, and they're making it. And so that's what got them in the game, probably 4 or 5 of the games, you know. So I'm feeling like this one hopefully gets us to where, you know, the monkey's off our back, because but he can complain all he wants about one call, but the 3 bad calls that he was beneficial for – you know, the foul on Tejada, which was totally a phantom call.
The one on Sebastian.
Sebastian and Keyshawn, all absolute phantom calls. And so, you know, he can – that one call cost him, you know, the possession arrow.
Cost him $25,000, turns out, today.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but it didn't even cost the points. All 3 of those fouls cost us 5 free throws. They got free throws on all of those. All we did was get the possession.
Yeah, it cost them possession, which would have won the game. So, I mean, it was costly. Yeah. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, look, it was much more of a – that was much more of a foul than the ones that were called against Auburn.
That's right, exactly. So they got one call bad for them and 3 calls bad for us. So I feel like, you know, but that's home. We should have been getting these home calls. We weren't getting the home calls in Texas A&M. We weren't getting
sure
the home
didn't
calls
feel like it. You're right.
Yeah. So I feel like, but I must feel like I think we're going to go on a run right here. I think we are, and it's great because if we win out, which I know it's not easy, but if we do, I think we get the 8 spot. When I looked at all the schedules of all the teams that are ahead of us, and I feel like they're going to lose certain games, and if we win out, it would put us in the 8 spot. Which, you know, that would mean we'd play a second round game, and then we would play Florida. So I don't mind if we were to lose to Florida. That's not a bad loss at all, you know. And I feel like we'd probably move up to the 7 seed. So I feel like let's just hope that this turned us around. And you know, it's almost like here we go again, and now that here we go again is gone. You know, but it is
you sure
like
hope
deja
so.
Vu.
Yeah. I mean, yeah that's exactly what, you know, what you're hoping happens is you finally get that, you know, you get over that hump, you get that win, as even as scary as it was, that hopefully the same type things won't happen. That's one of the things Stephen was talking about yesterday. He said just almost inexplicably, Auburn blows a couple of defenses in the final 4 minutes of the game, and it's some of it's got to be, you know, they're tight and they're trying to do too much, or they're trying to help too much, and it ends up leaving somebody wide open. But you're right, we've seen that in multiple games here coming down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, like Mississippi State hits the 2 3 pointers. I mean, I feel like if we just fouled them, you know, then most are going to get 2 points.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, Josh didn't get a look at a 3-pointer until that final, until that final one there that was a backbreaker. Hubbard didn't, down there at the end of the ball game. They'd done such a great job of, you know, keeping the ball away from him, and all of a sudden, one time, and that's one of the things that Pearl was talking about. Guy decides, you know, tries to help out and ends up leaving him open, and you can't do that.
Yeah. Well, Vegas has that 1.5-point favor, yep. So they obviously know something. I'm hoping that they're right. All right, thanks, guys. War Eagle.
Appreciate it, Pat. 334-321-1390. Let's get to our first break, and we'll let you hear some of Stephen Pearl's comments as he talked with the media yesterday. Tigers preparing for Oklahoma tonight in Norman.
This is Coach Stephen Pearl, and you're listening to The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday edition of The Drive. 5:15, Bill, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, Drew at the controls. And while we've got a few minutes, thought we'd let you hear Stephen Pearl yesterday. Spent some time with the media as the Tigers taking on the Oklahoma Sooners tonight, looking to put together back-to-back quad one wins if they can pull off one tonight in Norman.
They're a really dangerous team, so I got to get ready for practice, so I'll take any questions you guys may have.
It's another team, three-point shooting kind of is like this season's challenges got there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a team that shoots 36% from three, and they have a ton of games with double-digit makes, and you know, they got multiple guys that can really shoot it. Nigel Pack is a guy like Hubbard that can really get hot really quick. You know, Xavier Brown's a guy that, you know, can get hot when he's knocking shots down. You know, and they got a couple guys off the bench that can just absolutely, you know, fill it up. So we got to do a great job understanding who we're guarding. We have to have great closeouts in this game. On penetration, you know, we can't get too loaded into the ball because of finding the open shooters, and we got to do a great job of, you know, contesting those shots.
Steve, I know you're pretty stoked about the way Elijah responded in the game the other day. Is a lot more be kind of a launching point for him, where he's like, I told you to be more aggressive. You were awesome. Just keep going that way.
When he plays that assertive and that aggressive, he's just a totally different player on both ends of the floor. So, you know, part of that is I got to put him in positions and situations to be aggressive, and I thought we did a much better job of that in the game. But I also thought he was just, you know, just way more assertive on his own. And, you know, in order for him to be the best version of himself, that's what he's got to do. So, you know, I was walking into Mark, asked me the question, like, a lot of the same as far as your messaging. I'm like, yeah, like, please just, like, you know, tell Elijah to be assertive. Like, and he's a smart player. He knows when to be aggressive and when not to be aggressive. So, you know, need him to continue to do that.
You mentioned after the game, I mean, obviously y'all got the win, but still, you know, closing out the game, you know, kind of losing a lead there is similar at Mississippi State. When you look back at that, what are the factors that you maybe attribute that to? Is it turnovers? Do you think y'all are playing a little tight at the end of games? Just kind of what have you seen in that regard?
No, it wasn't turnovers. It's just defensive mistakes, you know, not following certain aspects of the scouting report. You know, they run a five-out action where there's three guys on the same side, and Sebastian missed his coverage, which then led Keyshawn Hall missing his coverage, which led to Owe hitting a three in the corner. You know, they run a middle ball screen where they set a pin down on the guard in the corner, and he comes up and runs a go. Like, the three guys that were on this side of the floor, like, were switching for some reason, and we weren't able to get the coverage to Keyshawn Hall in time, and we were trying to send him right in that situation. He drives it left downhill on us. Sebastian is guarding Owe, and I'm screaming at him to back up, and he's picking him up at half. And then, you know, he runs him off at his heels, pulls up for three, and Sebastian, I don't know if he touched him, but it looks so. You put the ref in a really difficult spot by doing that. Same thing in the first half with Tahad when he didn't foul the shooter, but he slapped down. Like, that, any referee's going to call that. So, you know, we defensive lapses in both games. Same thing with the Mississippi State game. We gapped a pin in. We gave really bad help off of penetration. And we just played, you know, we played statue defense twice on layups. So, it's been defensive lapses late. Obviously, there was a couple turnovers there, but it's more on our defense late, you know, because we did a great job, you know, in the first, or I guess in the 12 minutes before that, of just, like, getting defensive stop after defensive stop and really just being intentional with our defense. And in the last two games, in the last 4 minutes, we've really struggled in those areas. The only positive is that we were able to somehow find a way to win that game so we can learn from it. But, you know, obviously we lost the Mississippi State game because we had some defensive breakdowns late, so we can't do that again moving forward.
you know, Key didn't have his best on offense the other night, but you mentioned it the other night with 8 defensive boards. He also had seven assists. What does that kind of say about him and the team that you don't y'all can win a game like that without him going off like he usually does scoring?
Yeah, we missed 15 layups as a team. And, you know, Key probably had 5 or 6 of them, and it was all playing off of 2 feet, which is everything we asked Key to do. So that was kind of an anomaly, honestly. You know, we missed 3 in transition that were just like no one was guarding us. So, you know, to miss 15 layups and Key, you know, to struggle like that offensively. But here's the deal, like, you know, he still had 7 assists. He still had 8 huge rebounds. Like, that's, you know, that's huge. Like, how can you affect the game when you're not scoring? And that's been, you know, the biggest thing that, you know, we've been talking to all our guys about. But Key's done a great job in games where he hasn't scored the ball of at least facilitating it and cutting down his turnovers. So he did a good thing, you know, his offense affect other parts of his game, and he was able to be productive in spite of that.
With Oklahoma, is how easy is it to just kind of point to how dangerous they are with the fact they beat Vandy and they beat Georgia just last week? I know they've lost the last two, but, you know, they've – it's like you said earlier, it's a pretty easy team to kind of say, like, pay attention to, even though they're 3-11 or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a lot of their games this year, you know, they had a double-digit lead on Texas in the first half. They had a double-digit lead on Arkansas in the first half. You know, they were beating Vanderbilt by 20. You know, they had, like, 1.5 points per possession against Georgia. Like, this is an incredibly dangerous team. And they've had double-digit leads against a lot of teams in our league, and even late in games. And they are more than capable offensively. They're one of the top offenses in our league and in the country, and they play hard as heck defensively. Like, they fly around and they mix up their coverages, but, you know, they're still playing with a ton of effort and a ton of energy. And you know, it's a team that plays well at home, and you know, incredibly dangerous opponent, and you know, they have our full attention for sure.
Stephen Pearl yesterday spending some time with the media, and you hope that I'm sure it's pretty obvious Stephen Pearl isn't looking past this ball game, talking about how dangerous they are. I mean,
yeah.
Look, when you lose a game at Mississippi State, you know, you have no margin of error,
right,
for the rest of the season here, especially in the games you're supposed to win. And Auburn's a slight favorite. I guess, as Pat was saying, it's about 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite tonight in Norman. Hey, I saw an interesting story. You know, we've talked about how important it would be for Auburn to have more of a core next year. Obviously, this year they had so many players that were out of eligibility last year, and they had to bring in 10 players to go with Tahad Pettiford. Cool on. On Three, Joe Tipton of On Three had a story about this year's transfer portal. And as we mentioned the other day, it opens the day after the national championship. April 7th is when the transfer portal opens. But Tipton got some coaches to comment without naming their names.
Mm-hmm.
But he would say an ACC coach or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. An ACC coach said, if we play by the rules and wait until April 7th, by that time, half the kids we like would already be in deep discussions with other schools, saying that there have been discussions and negotiations going on since this past November.
Yeah.
For players that are playing for teams right now,
sad,
who either have their agents have let it be known to certain folks that this guy's going to go into the portal. One coach said, look, the NCAA rules are just there against blatantly, you know, breaking these rules. How did he say? He said he just said that the NCAA doesn't want there to be blatant conversations or communication. So he says, so what we do, you'll understand this. I mean, he said, what we do is we talk to their high school coaches and find out, yeah, hey, do you think there's a chance that he may go in the portal? Mm-hmm. But then he said, and the NCAA doesn't say anything about you contacting their coach or someone that knows them and saying, we'd be really interested in them, and here's what we might be willing to pay. So, I mean, there are already things like that going on. So you wonder, man, how can some of these deals be done so quickly? Because they've been being worked on while the season is going on, and you have some coaches that and agents saying, you know, it's crazy, but coaches saying it's crazy because guys that are playing on teams that are going deep in the tournament are already those guys are already gone. They know they're gone, and they already know where they're going.
Yeah, it's amazing, but you know that's going on. I mean, that guy's right. If you waited till Sunday. After our Tuesday morning after the national championship.
Oh, you're so far behind.
Yeah.
You have no chance.
What are you going to do? Get on
leftovers is all you're going to get.
Yeah, call a guy and say, hey, this is so-and-so. Yeah, that's been going on. And how do you control it, Bill? I don't know. But they're getting around the main rule, like you said.
Oh, absolutely.
They're going through the back door.
Yeah, one of the agents that Tipton spoke to said, I'm getting calls every day from coaches.
Yeah.
And this agent represents multiple Power Five players.
Wow!
So he's got players. You know.
Now I wonder if surely that's not the head coach calling them. They got to be smarter.
Probably
than that.
Not. I would think it's somebody on the staff.
Yeah.
But I mean,
they're probably using burner phones or whatever you call.
Well, the thing is, what's the NCAA going to do when somebody on a staff calls an agent? He may be an agent of one of your players.
Yeah.
You know, you can call a guy who's an agent of multiple players if he has one of your guys.
Yeah.
And, oh, gee, if you happen to find out that somebody else he represents at another school might be interested.
There you go. That's probably how they're doing it. Yeah.
That makes
more sense than I don't think anybody's that stupid just to get on a phone and call somebody. If you're a coach. But who knows?
No, you're right.
Who knows?
You're right. And then as far as the money, a high major assistant told Tipton that he said point guards, for example, he's hearing one of the point guards that he knows is going to be out there is looking for $3 million and said this assistant said, our budget's $8 million, so we're out. You know, we have no chance to get him and have a roster.
Man,
and another assistant in the Big East told the writer that there's a player in his league that's being offered $2 million to return to his current school, while he's heard that $4 million is being offered by others. So I mean,
how do you compete with that?
Well, you better have that budget. I mean, the thing is, the Big East though, they don't have football. So hopefully they have enough money to
be able to do that. Everything goes to basketball.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's where. And you know, I don't know. I mean, I've read different things. I know there's some people that felt like Auburn was poor, didn't have the money to compete. I've been told that Auburn's in the upper half of the SEC as far as money. Maybe not at the very top, but they're nowhere near – the bottom in the SEC. I don't know if that's, you know, some people said $12 million, but I would think more in the $9-10 million range is probably what Auburn has invested in this year's team. That you would think that would get you a pretty good roster, but when you start hearing some of those things, a top point guard's going to go for $3 million or, you know, something like that. So
that's
you
crazy.
Don't know.
Got to get a handle on it somehow, but how do you?
I don't see
it ever coming.
You know,
back.
An answer, a simple solution.
Yeah.
Coming up, you got to hope that there is one.
Yeah.
Because some of these, you know, some of these schools and conferences are going to be run out of business.
Yeah, I mean
they're gonna go bankrupt.
Yeah.
Trying to
and then
you know,
if you
compete.
Have a bad year.
Well, that's right, because where's that money going to come from again
look at Kentucky,
if it all gets invested?
Kentucky this year, they supposedly spent a lot of money.
Oh, and there's been a lot of talk that Kentucky folks aren't going to spend it for Mark Pope again.
No, I know. Woo. Oh, man. It is Pandora's box that we've opened, that's for sure.
No question.
Wow.
All right, we're at the bottom of the hour. We'll go ahead and get to our next break. Jake Crane of Crane & Company joins us on the other side, so stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew's at the controls, and it's Tuesday, and that means it is time for us to be joined by one of our favorite guys. Known him, my goodness, since he was a real youngster, but doing a great job with Crane and Cone, and that is Jake Crane joining us here on the Drive. Jake, last week I was sneaking out to get to the ballpark early to watch a shutout by Cincinnati over Auburn, and then the next day, my goodness, there were people questioning Butch Thompson and wondering if this team is going to hit, and you know, how bad is this year going to be? A little different tune after they go out and sweep three in Arlington.
Yeah, and I mean, look, the you know, those games against Youngstown State, and look, I know Youngstown State isn't some powerhouse, believe me. I actually thought, you know, at the end of the day, that you can tell good pitching when you see it, regardless of who you're playing. And when you look at Marciano and some of these other guys that Auburn's rolling out there, man, it just it looks different from a depth standpoint. But the bats, I mean, Bill, you know this too. You've watched it. Sometimes the bats are slow out of the gate.
Yeah.
It's just part of it. You're seeing different pitching for the first time. You know, you went through all your fall stuff, had your World Series, this, that, and the other. And they're just too talented. And then Rembert's going to be back here at some point soon. Mm-hmm. This baseball team is really good. I'd much rather have really good pitching, knowing the hitting is coming around, than having to realize we got to score 7 runs a game to win.
Yeah, this right now to me is the absolute best case scenario. Look, this team is struggling along with a .316 team batting average right now, and they got a couple of guys that haven't gotten going yet. I know they're going to hit. I was wondering about the pitching, but you're right. Marciano has been lights out. 11 innings, 20 strikeouts, no walks, 4 hits.
Bill, some guys play baseball, the other ones are out there just playing ultimate frisbee. We don't know it, and that's what it looks like when it comes out of his hand. I mean, it's the movement late too, and look, lefties, coaches always are gonna love lefties more, but I tell you, man, when you have that type of late movement, it's not like he has incredibly overpowering stuff. His fastball's good enough to keep people off balance, but when you have natural movement coming from the left side, it'll tie you up in knots. And his control, I mean, Auburn's pitching coach and that staff have done an incredible job, I think, of upgrading the velo of the guys, but also the amount of movement that is coming out of the hands of these starting pitchers. It's tough to deal with, because at the end of the day, if you're 95 and flat, it's getting hit over the scoreboard soon. You got to have some type of movement regardless of velo, unless it's like 1-0, unless you're Strasburg.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it has to have some movement, and it can't all be in the same place either. And, that's the other stat that has just been phenomenal. 7 starts, 59 Ks, 4 walks for the starters thus far.
Great control. And I thought that the way they swung the bats late in Arlington, too, I think is going to give them some confidence.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. Hey, well, that's going to be fun. And look, the SEC once again, I mean, I can't see this changing. The SEC is the best athletically, period. But, I mean, baseball, it's just unbelievable. And Auburn is among the elite teams, I believe, this year.
No, without a doubt. And, I mean, just like football, just like basketball, just like any sport, the teams that are going to win the most and the longest are going to be able to win the most ways. And you feel like this Auburn team, knowing the hitting is there and it's going to come around. I mean, guys like Lucas Steele are going to eventually hit.
Mm-hmm.
I brought up Rembert coming back. I like the McCrane brothers, especially the young one. There's some guys that can swing the stick. Bristol Carter needs to keep on coming. He had a big game in the last game there, against Florida State, the second to last game. But there's enough talent on this team to not only get to Omaha, there's enough pitching to make a run in Omaha, I think.
Yeah, I think the expectations are, you know, not unreasonably very, very high for this baseball team. Baseball just getting started. On the other side, we're in the final 2 weeks of the regular season here in college basketball, and as we come down the stretch, I'm still seeing some projections that have 11 SEC teams in the dance. Do you think that's possible?
I think not only is it possible, I think it's somewhat probable. I mean, Auburn needs Oklahoma. They need to win these games they're supposed to win. I think if they go 3-0 over the next three, they're in regardless.
I agree.
With that last game being at Bama. Mm-hmm. But no, it would not surprise me at all. I mean, it's been a mishmash all season. In the SEC, you feel like now some teams are starting to separate themselves. You look at Florida. Obviously, look at what Alabama's been doing. Heck, if I'm Bama, I don't want Bediako back at this point, if we're being honest. But, no, man, Tennessee, I think, is talented. The question to me becomes, who can win it from the SEC? You know, the first team that comes to mind you think is Florida,
sure.
Right? Because they're big enough. They got the front court to do it. They're physical. The guards aren't what they were. Arkansas is interesting to me.
I think
Arkansas could make a really deep run.
Yep, I absolutely agree. They've got crazy athleticism. When they're on, they're as scary as anybody, probably scarier than anybody in this league.
A-Cuff's a wit.
You're right.
We can talk about DiBianca, and I get it. We can talk about Darren Peterson, all these other guys. A-Cuff is as good. I just watched him drop 46 at Bama,
mm-hmm.
and they're lucky he didn't score 60.
Well, he had a stretch. He had a stretch of 7 or 8 minutes where he didn't score. And he still scored 46.
Like he went cold for almost half of a half.
Yeah. Yeah, that is crazy. No, I agree. And this sounds ridiculously Homer-ific or whatever, but I think if this Auburn team clicked, if they really started clicking, I don't think how many games have we seen four guys have good offensive nights? Auburn's been pretty good offensively, period. Look, they have to tighten up defensively, but I thought before the meltdown at the end of the Mississippi State game and in the second half against Kentucky, that was some of the best defense that Auburn has played. They were making it more difficult for teams, for State and Kentucky, to find open threes. If they can do that, and they'll be challenged tonight by Oklahoma, but if they can do that, they've got the kind of guys that I don't think a lot of teams would want to be playing them if they're clicking.
No, you just wonder, Bill. I mean, we've played this long. When's it ever going to click?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, we're still having emotional problems with Keyshawn Hall not celebrating at the end of the Kentucky game. Like, the team, and again, this is the risk you run when you basically have to import a brand-new team. I just don't think the emotional maturity is very high. I think that's why you're seeing a lot of times, and Coach Dunn, you know this, you know, better than anybody, having been in the business.
Yep.
You're going to play on the field like you act off the field.
Right.
And that maturity level is going to translate. And it just seems like this team has not said, you know, you felt like after the win at Florida, you got this momentum. Now you start to see the results and you say, hey, this is working. We need to keep doing this. And then, you know, you come against Vanderbilt and you have a bunch of letdowns defensively. Auburn's got to stop letting the guy that can't beat you on the other team beat you.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard a stat during the Kentucky game that made me almost want to throw up, that, like, the lead guard, the average points for a lead guard against Auburn was, like, 28 and a half.
It's close to 30. You're right. It's right at 30.
Josh Hubbard outscored our whole team in the first half.
Yep.
Bro, I don't care if you got to put five guys on a team. That can't happen. I'd rather you just go dunk the ball every time. And I know he made some crazy shots, but at some point, Stephen Pearl and this defensive staff are some of the best defensive coaches in the country. He's shown you that time and time again. The scouting report is right. Sometimes I really don't know if Keyshawn Hall actually knows the defense or the defenses. I really question it sometimes. And it's unfortunate because he can go out there and drop almost 30 a game. But if this team does find a way to lock it in and understand that you can't let your defense affect your offense, they could be dangerous. But, I mean, we've been playing how many games now? What is it, almost 30?
Yeah, 27 games. We're 27 games in. So, yeah, that's a valid point.
Yeah, you can't wait till you're 60 years old to be a good person. I mean, at some point you got to figure it out, dude.
Yeah, you're right. And the other thing is obviously they're playing 6.5 players. You wonder how long will the legs hold up?
Yeah, I watch Houston do this. I watch other teams find a way to do it that play with max effort. And a lot of the reasons you're having to play with 6.5 people was because you had some discipline problems. If we're being real, there's a reason Magwood hadn't touched the floor.
Oh, yeah.
We know how talented he is on offense.
No, it's not just defense. No, you're right.
No, we just may need to get in a fight on a plane. Maybe that's what it takes. Last year we get in a fight on a plane before we go play Houston. We turn into Globo Gym.
Hey, one thing that is that's cool. Our buddy Brian Matthews was on yesterday, yeah. And he had written a column, and it's some really interesting thoughts in here about, hey, you've got to recruit differently now. You know, where you used to perhaps overlook some character concerns, especially when you're having to make massive roster replacements. That's something you used to think, well, we can get this guy, and in a couple of years, we can straighten him out. You don't have a couple of years, because there's no guarantee you're going to have anybody more than right now when you sign him.
No, I mean, I think you just go get a bunch of old heads that want it bad. That's what I think. That's what it looks like to me. You go get a bunch of older guys. Obviously, you got to be talented, but it seems like, again, you know, you're trying to beat a maturity curve, and now you're throwing – you know, even more money at young guys and wondering why they're like this. And it's just kind of the natural order of things, unfortunately. But yeah, it feels like it's an ever-changing sand, and you've got to be able to adjust. But, you know, I caught myself thinking the other day, can you imagine, Bill, if Chad Baker Mazzara was on this team? Like, can you just imagine, like, the craziness that would be on it? And I know he's
yeah,
an older guy.
What a wild ride! You're talking the craziest, the wildest amusement park you've ever been to is what the ride would be
yeah,
like.
Steven would have aged 35 years in 1 year if Chad Baker Mazzara was on the team. But to your point, yeah, look, if I'm going to pay you a lot of money. Like, I saw somebody that brought up a great point. You look at Darren Peterson at Kansas right now.
Uh-huh.
He's as good as anybody that's playing, but you're having some issues, you know, with him right now. People are saying, is it worth paying a guy $3 million to come play in 15 games? Like, it's tough, man. I do not envy these guys.
No, it is. We were just talking about a story from either yesterday or today about, you know, with coaches talking about the transfer portal. It's going to open up the day after the national championship game, but deals have been struck, have been being worked on since November with players that are playing and are probably going to play deep in the tournament, knowing that they're going and going to, you know, because there will be, with the portal opening on the 7th, by April 10th, because I think it's only a 15-day portal anyway, but by the end of that week, half of those guys are going to already be somewhere else and have a deal done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Bill, imagine you're coaching a team, you put a roster together. Look at Tahad Pettiford from last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got a guy that's coming off the bench that you know is a spark plug that absolutely balls out in the NCAA tournament. The price goes up dramatically.
Oh, yeah.
Dramatically. You could have a guy that was an average player in the regular season, and he gets hot in the NCAA tournament, and now the price tripled to what it was. So the retention part of this, man, the tampering part of this, it is as grimy as it's ever been. That's why I'm going to, you know, continue to say, as much as I don't like it, I don't want to let perfect get in the way of better. They got to be employees, man. Like, it's just going to have to be that way. Like, that's the only way this thing is going to have some sort of balance or semblance to it. Because, again, people get worried about a CBA. Well, they don't even have collective bargaining right now, and you got lawsuits left and right about eligibility and this, that, and the other. You got to make them employees, man. They already get health insurance. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, it is crazy that we spend there's so much of the time in sports now is talking about what's going on in the court and not on the courts or on the fields.
It's a great point. It's never been more bureaucratic than it is right now.
No, you're absolutely right, Jake. Great stuff as always. What you got going at Crane and Cone?
Man, we actually did the top five quarterback battles going into next season today. But tomorrow, we have our first college basketball episode. We're doing a huge bracketology episode.
Wow.
We're going to talk about Auburn. Obviously, tonight's game is going to have a huge bearing. You know, it's massive, not only in general, but I do believe if you're able to win this game, you get two very winnable games at home, and that would get you to that 18-win mark. before we got to go up there and play Alabama and half the G League if they'd had it their way. So it's going to be a deep one. We got a special guest on, so it's about that time.
Yeah, absolutely it is, and you're right. These next three ball games would appear very winnable. If they get the win tonight, they ought to get to 9 conference wins as well, and that would be huge. So,
that was kind of the watermark we set at the beginning of the year, and when you play the toughest schedule in the history of the world, you ought to get in with that.
You better. Jake, great stuff, man. Really appreciate it. Let everybody know where they can find Crane and Cone.
Definitely appreciate you guys having me. Good talking with you, Coach.
You too,
well,
buddy.
Again, you can find us. It's easy. Just go to YouTube. It's Crain and Cone. We're dropping content all the time and talking a lot of Auburn as well, so come hang out with us.
Sounds good, Jake. Have a great weekend, man.
All right, guys. See ya.
Jake Crane joining us as he does each week. Yeah, always good stuff.
Yeah, he's good. Really good. I like him.
We will get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us as we wind things down.
Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final segment here on this Tuesday with Bill and Coach Don Dunn, and we've got a couple of minutes, so let's get to The Drive hotline, and Tex is up next. Hey, Tex.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Coach. How y'all doing?
Great.
Well, I got back Sunday night.
Hey, that was a nice trip.
It was better than a nice trip. My wife is so good. She's been to more baseball in the last 2 weeks than she really wants to, but it was really fun. Met a lot of great Auburn people, some great Louisville people, some stupid Florida State people. K-State was good. After they went up 4-0, they were chanting SEC something. I think it was like SEC who. And in the seventh inning, they were piling out. So I found that quite amusing. Sorry about that. So, Bill, here's a quick story. Meet a couple from Louisville.
Uh-huh.
We just happened to be walking across from the hotel together. And we talked to them, and they introduced us to their son who signed to play for Louisville, a middle infielder.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him why he didn't go to Auburn. He goes, because I always wanted to go to Louisville. So, okay, great. you can't argue that. But all of a sudden, the dad comes up to where Cindy and I are sitting and say, hey, there's a lady down here that wants to meet you. So Janine Slick, longtime employee of Auburn University, travels to most of the baseball games, was at the game, and I quote, she told this Louisville dad, I want to meet Tex and Cindy because I love him on Bill Cameron's show, and Bill and Tex are the only two smart guys on there. So, I'm sorry, Coach.
Checks in the mail, Janine.
Hey,
there you go.
I agree. Hard to hide, stupid.
Maybe listening today, it was so fun. A great Auburn lady retired from the university. Oddly enough, worked in the budget office.
Bill
and I have a mutual friend that also worked in the budget office that they knew each other.
Wow.
So it was just really kind of neat. And then the next fun, a couple things baseball wise. It was great to see Bub and Frelick start pounding the ball a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it was great to see 2 Oppo home runs. Unusual in the college game today, but 2 Oppo home runs.
Yeah, in a major league park.
See a freshman.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a freshman hit a ball into left center field in the second deck. Not just a home run, in the second deck. And for those of you who've never been there, it's a full-size, beautiful Major League ballpark. And it is it went in the second deck where there happened to be 4 Auburn people sitting. Why they're up there, I have no idea. But the ball went up there. So it's a great event. If you ever get to wherever we go next year, it's great to go to. We went to Jacksonville 3 years ago, and the last 2 years into Dallas. So our pitching, for the most part, was really, really solid.
Mm-hmm.
We had a guy give up 4 runs in the first inning and came back and pitched 4 more. And 4 more scoreless, by the way. So it was a blast to go to. My second favorite part is we were walking through the center where all the restaurants were, and I look up and there's a couple players sitting at a table, and I walked up and said, hey, Bub. And he goes,
saw the picture. That was good. Yeah.
Yeah, so okay, I knew he was big, I'm glad you saw the picture.
Yeah.
But he's who called me about my season tickets, saying thanks for
– Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
So I said, hey, it's Mr. Tex. And he jumped up. He said, let me give you some love. And he came over, and I said, can we get a picture with Cindy and I? Just take a look at his hand on Cindy's shoulder.
Wow. Great stuff, Tex. We got to run, man.
All right, bud. Thanks.
Yep. Great to hear from Tex, who was out there for those big three wins for Auburn. Don, we'll find out if Dan's back tomorrow. If not,
I'm on call.
That's right. He is there. He's there warming up.
That's right.
All right, we are out of time here. Don't forget Auburn basketball, 7:30 tonight on Wings. We're back tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.
Backyard Dreams and Design is proud to sponsor Plug Day 2026.